Acts chapter 4. And verses 23 through 31. Acts chapter 4, verses 23 through 31. All right. Entitled my message this morning, A Secret of the Model Church. A secret of the model church. Where would we find the model church? Well, I already gave that away. The book of Acts, probably. The early church was a model to us. One that we should look at and take seriously. And especially what I talk about this morning, that secret that was going on, that would sustain them, that strengthened them. In Acts chapter 4, I'd like to read verses 23 through 31 this morning. On their release, Peter and John, they'd been in jail, folks. And on their release, they went back to their people and reported all that the chief priests and the elders had said to them. When they heard this, they raised their voices together in prayer to God. Sovereign Lord, they said, you made the heavens and the earth and the sea and everything in them. You spoke by the Holy Spirit through the mouth of your servant, our father David. Why do the nations rage and the people plot in vain? The kings of the earth rise up and the rulers band together against the Lord and against his anointed one. Indeed, Herod and Pontius Pilate met together with the Gentiles and the people of Israel in this city to conspire against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed. They did what your power and will had decided beforehand should happen. Now, Lord, consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. Stretch out your hand and heal and perform signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant, Jesus. After they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. A secret of the model church. Let's pray and ask the Lord to help us. Lord, we love you. We see here these men and women operating in the right way, seeking your face. Lord, we seek your face this morning. We need your help. We ask for your direction. We ask for you to guide us. We ask that you would lead us. And Lord, we pray this morning that you might speak through your word this morning. Help these lips of clay to be true to your word. And I ask, God, that your word would do volumes in our hearts and our lives. Open up our hearing that we might hear what you want to say to your church this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And amen. So we have a story here in the book of Acts about Peter and John being released from prison. Why did they go to prison? Because they prayed for a man that was seated at the temple and he'd been unable to stand for 40 years. Could not use his legs. Peter and John, as they were coming to the temple, They stopped and they prayed for the man. And Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have I give unto you." And this man was healed, and he busted into the temple jumping and leaping. Can you imagine what the people thought? They knew this man. He'd been there. This had been going on not just a few days, but 40 years he's been laid up. He comes in, he's leaping and he's jumping and he's running around. Oh, but we got a problem. It's the Sabbath. Wouldn't want people healed on the Sabbath day. At least that was their thinking. They're thinking, how dare you do something like this on the Sabbath? So Peter and John were hauled off, taken to prison. Very important verse. As they were there in prison, verse 13 says, of chapter 4, Acts chapter 4, everything I'm talking about this morning is going to come from Acts chapter 4. But in verse 13 it says, when they saw the courage of Peter and John and realized they were unschooled, ordinary men, they were astonished and they took note that these men had been with Jesus. That made the difference for them, guys, is they'd been hanging out with Jesus. They'd been running around with that Jesus guy. And so they realized, wow, there's really not much we can do to them. So I guess we probably should release them. But before they released them, they called them in, the leaders, the religious leaders, called them in and they ordered them and they said, you don't do any more of this talking about this Jesus stuff. Don't do this no more. We don't want any more of that. They warned them. They threatened them. But Peter and John replied, which is right in God's eyes, to listen to you or to him? You be the judges. But as for us, we cannot help speaking about what we have seen and heard. So Peter and John just basically told them, look, guys, you can tell us not to, but we feel like we have to. We've seen it. We know what this man Jesus can do. We know him as our Lord. And so Peter and John came back. They got out of the prison and they came to their friends, the early church, the group that was gathered together. They came over and they began to explain to them what the religious leaders had told them and what the Sanhedrin had told them, that they had to be quiet and keep their, you know, voices down, quit talking about this Jesus guy. And the first order of business, let's look at what it says in verse 23. I believe, maybe verse 24. Verse 24. When they heard what Peter and John were saying, what did they do? They raised their voices together in prayer to God. What did they do? They prayed. They said, hey, we better pray. They knew, they realized, they recognized, hey, we need help in this. They're trying to shut us down. They're trying to not allow us to talk about him anymore. They're trying to cut us off. Listen to me, guys. We better pray. So the first order of business, the very first thing they thought to do was, hey, let's pray. They raised their voices together in prayer to God. You know what? That ought to be the first thing we think of when we come to a struggle, when we come into a fight, when we come into a problem, when we get pushed and shoved and we, you know, we're a little unclear about what in the world. hey guys, guess what? Time to pray. We should love to pray. I mean, we should love to pray as Christians. Every so often, I'll grab the telephone and I'll call my mom back home. She's 89 now. Doing well. I thank the Lord for that. But I'll call her. And you know, I just love to talk to my mom. I've heard that voice all my life, and I really enjoy talking with my mom. And I want to tell you something this morning. I love to pray. I love to talk to Jesus because he's been there every step of the way in my life. We should love to pray. Our prayer time should be our refuge. Our prayer time should be our retreat. Our prayer time should be the opportunity we have to be renewed, refreshed. That opportunity for us to be strengthened, and we can say, yeah. Remember, one of the things they prayed for sincerely was, Lord, give us boldness. They're trying to shut us up, but Lord, you make us bold. You make us bold so that we don't cower in front of them, but we voice exactly what we know is right. Do we come to church each Sunday and say, I am in a place of prayer? Jesus referred to the house of God as a house of prayer. When we come in, is our thought, oh, we get to talk to Jesus today. We get to spend time praying today. You say, well, Pastor Bill, there's lots of things go on at church, not just praying. I agree. But I tell you, and I said it a little bit ago, I believe probably one of the most important things that we do when we come to the house of the Lord is communicate with Him. Do we come to church each Sunday and say, I'm in a place of prayer? Do we feel an attitude of prayer? Do we feel an encouragement to pray? I don't know, guys. It doesn't seem to me it would be very difficult to find something to pray about. We live in a crazy world, right? We live in a crazy society. It doesn't seem to me like we should have problems talking to Him. There's a lot of stuff we need to lay at His feet. There's a lot of things we need to say, Lord, we need your help with this. Again, I'm going to ask you the question again. When we come to church and we walk in those doors, are we saying, Lord, help us. We need prayer today. Help me. Help me as I pray. On Wednesday night, we just started a study by Mark Batterson, who's a pastor in Washington, D.C., but it's on praying in the prayer circle. And he referred to a man by the name of Gypsy Smith, who used to be an evangelist. He was born in 1860 in England, made several trips to the United States, spoke all over our country, and a revival broke out with a lot of what he was doing. And people one time, they caught him, they gathered him in said, tell us what, you know, what do we got to do? And he said, here's what I would do. I would have you go home, and I want you to take some chalk, and I want you to draw a circle around yourself. And then he said, I would pray for everything in that circle. In other words, pray that when revival would begin in you, that revival would well up inside of your body, that revival would well up inside of who you are. Smart man. There's power found in prayer, guys. So they're praying with Peter and John. And let me find it here exactly. In verse 29, "Now, Lord, consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness." I don't know, but I'm not so sure that I would pray, "Lord, hide me that they don't see me." But these guys are praying, "Lord, you've heard their threats. You've heard their warnings. Give us boldness." I want to read verse 31. If I had a text, just one verse in this sermon, this would be my text. "After they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly." God, give us boldness. When they finished praying, it says very clearly, "And they spoke the word of God boldly." In verse 30, just above verse 31, "Stretch your hand to heal and perform signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant, Jesus." In other words, God, when we pray, as we pray, stretch your hand and heal. Do miracles. Do great things. Do mighty things. God, change the dynamic. Change everything around us and make it new and make it fresh and make it alive and make it whole. Signs and wonders and miracles. What was that for? As a sign to the unbeliever. To them guys that were trying to shut them up, they were saying, "Lord, show them. Show them why we're talking." The place they were in, the Word of God says in verse 31, the place where they were in was shaken. Shaken. I want to make this clear. It wasn't shaken because they were really, really loud. It wasn't shaken because of their volume. It was shaken by the power of God Almighty. I can be driving down the road and almost praying underneath my breath, and God can shake me up pretty good. You know, guys, when we gather together, I pray that we would pray to such a degree that the place would be shaken. I mean, I'd like to see people say, "Wow, something happened here today. Something took place. Yeah, Jesus showed up. That's what happened. Jesus was here. Jesus heard our prayers and answered them and came and helped us and strengthened us." And they walked out of that prayer time speaking the word of God boldly. I don't know, guys, but that doesn't always come natural to me. When I'm facing somebody that disagrees with me, I'm not always the boldest individual in the world. But oh man, I'd love it if God would give me the strength to speak boldly. The secret of the model church, what a great church the early church was. I mean, their love and their care and all of the different things that they did, it's just amazing. But here's the secret, guys. The very first thing they did when Peter and John walked in the room and told them what was going on, very first thing they did was pray. They prayed. They didn't call somebody and say, hey, pray for us. Nothing wrong with that, but they prayed. They said, oh no, we need prayer. Let's pray, guys. Let's gather together and pray. Did you hear what Peter and John said? They're warning us. They're threatening us. We better pray. And we better pray for boldness so that we can represent Jesus Christ the way we should. Secret of the model church is the same secret today. Pray. I told this story a few weeks back, and I'm going to repeat myself. Sorry, guys, I do that quite a bit. Ask Sharon. I'll go around saying the same thing over and over again. But there's a fella over in South Korea. His name's Paul Young-gi Cho. Little short guy. Begun a church in Seoul, South Korea. That church now has over millions of people that attend his church. Campuses all over the city. I mean, all over the city. And many years ago, back probably about the time I came to Belding, about 86, there was a man by the name of Larry Lee. And Larry Lee was doing prayer conferences, and he shared this story. They went out golfing, Dr. Cho and Larry Lee. Larry Lee was like a state champion golfer in college at the University of Texas. Paul Young-gi Cho, I doubt that he ever golfed much. But he said it was the craziest game of golf I've ever had. He said because Dr. Cho would go out, he'd hit the ball, he'd go back and he'd sit in the cart and he'd start praying. He'd get out, hit the ball, go back and he'd start praying. And finally, Larry said, Dr. Cho, how do you do it? How did you do what happened in Korea? How did you build this huge monstrosity of a church? How in the world did that happen? Here's what Dr. Cho said. I pray and I obey. And he went back to praying again. I pray and I obey. Ha, ha, ha. That was Dr. Cho's response. The early church got that message. They prayed and they obeyed and they spoke boldly right in the face of opposition.